alone, becoming a burden to your children, losing a loved one, staying healthy, or a deep-rooted concern that retirement represents a path to a scary life phase, recognize that these fears often feel bigger than life. They can cause you to feel paralyzed, incapable, and constantly frustrated. Too often, fears restrict us to our comfort zone, and we avoid risks or change that might benefit us. It's time to take some baby steps to make retirement reinvention a realistic and attractive thing. We'll start by taking a big breath. Let it out. Clear your mind. Let go of any negative thought that may enter your head as you consider the opportunity that stands in front of you, having a wonderful retirement. Go outside and pay attention to nature. Go for a walk and really see your surroundings. Walk for at least 30 minutes. Do this daily until you hit 1 hour. Then walk an hour per day and your mood will improve. Move forward in an easy, unfrightening way. I want you to try out one idea, one potential interest or hobby, to get you out of the rut you're stuck in. You might try to find a club or a group to join. Check out www.meetup.com. By allowing yourself to explore some new hobby or interest and actually try it, you can and will overcome one of your fears. If you are truly stuck, have no interest, and cannot foresee what you would do if you retired, then think beyond yourself. That's right. Think about a social or community problem you care about. Maybe it is working on a problem like homelessness, or being involved with building a new community park, or working with low-income kids. By focusing on helping others, on whom you could support or serve, you can step out of yourself and your fears and make a difference. That is a terrific way to approach retirement reinvention. Always test drive first. When you do settle on an idea, try it out before making a full commitment. This enables you to learn a bit more about, for example, the inside workings of an organization or a new business idea, a new place to live, or a new organization to join. Test driving will give you more confidence as you move into something new and increase the chances of success in the long term. Do you like it? Really like it? Yes? Great. You are on the way to improving your retirement. If you don't really like it, if it doesn't feel meaningful or rewarding, quit and look for another opportunity. Last resort. When I work one-on-one with a client, and all my recommendations fail to get that person moving, I know it's time to get some professional help. I recommend that the person talk to a psychological counselor about their fears and the resistance they have to retirement. I also try to assess whether depression is an issue. Depression can be mild, but still very debilitating, and can keep one from living a happier life. If you think you might be depressed, you should see your doctor and discuss your feelings and symptoms. There is no shame in getting a happy pill or an antidepressant to get you over the hump. Many older people need antidepressants but are reluctant to ask for help. Don't make that mistake. Talk to your doctor. Try it. I will caution you that people over 60 can be very good at finding the negative, making an excuse, or setting up an obstacle that they put in their own way. Instead of seeing that a new activity, service, or job could be fun and introduce them to new people and expand their world, they only see what might be wrong with it. You must approach retirement with an "I can do it" attitude. That is imperative. Be open and flexible. Look for opportunities. They are all around if you look for them. Go back to Chapter 2. Look at the long list of hobbies and jobs on the PDF. This is a starting point that can give you the spark you need to try something new and different. Solutions are out there. No matter what obstacles you foresee or fear will prevent you from having a fun, happy retirement, there are solutions available. Some problems take more creative resourcefulness to solve than others. If you are stumped and we haven't answered your concerns by the end of this audiobook, try asking friends for suggestions. Be open-minded enough to try out some new ideas. You may find the problem is more easily solved than you thought. Seek out a career counselor and set up a session to discuss your retirement. Here is a link to my individual client services page, www.myretirementreinvention.com/services. A good counselor will help you come up with a plan, solve problems, and find new ideas. Retirement will happen sooner or later. Let it be on your terms, filled with positive experiences you will enjoy. To do this, you need to tackle any fears you have. Discuss them with a friend or counselor. Open your mind and discover the incredible and fun things others have done as you keep listening through this audiobook. There are so many ideas, many of which you likely hadn't considered. I'm sure something will resonate for you. It is up to you to create the perfect life for yourself. Keep listening. Others have done it, and you can too. My survey asked new retirees what was the first thing they planned to do once they retired, and the overwhelming majority said, throw away the alarm clock. Chapter 6, Transitioning. Some retirees ease smoothly into retirement, spending more time with hobbies or family and friends. But others, research finds, experience anxiety, depression, and debilitating feelings of loss. A lot of people can go through hell when they retire. They may quietly suffer, too embarrassed or too depressed to say a word about it. Working folks think retirement is living the good life. The truth is that without a solid plan for how to maintain your happiness, it can be a distressing, depressing, and lonely experience. As I have stated in earlier chapters, people can easily fail at retirement. Retirement is not an extended vacation. Many people seem to have the misconception that retirement is a holiday. They have spent much of their life being at work, getting to and from work, and thinking about work. The average person works 11,000 days during their career. The dream of retirement is that it'll be one long vacation. It's not. You will have good days and bad days. Life simply happens that way. Retirement can be amazing, but you need to prepare for it and work at it like anything else. Anyone who thinks retirement is just lounging around and doing nothing will have an unpleasant surprise waiting for them. Chilling out is nice for a few months, but not for the long term. It's not good for your mental health to be aimless. There are tons of stories about retirees falling into depression and wishing they hadn't stopped working. You don't want to be a part of that growing trend, do you? Be open as you transition into retirement. Flexibility and adaptability are two great traits that any retiree needs to incorporate into their ongoing and ever-changing life plan. But even though life is unpredictable, having what appears to be a good plan for what you'll do with your time is essential. Think back to the other times in your life when you had to make a career change. These are stressful. Some are downright difficult. Think about the last career move you made. The time it took to write the resume, all the effort to find job openings, the networking you hopefully did, the interview process, and finally salary negotiations. The whole process is stressful. The final stage of your career is retirement reinvention. It begins with a transition and the creation of your new life plan. Leaving work for the last time will bring up different feelings depending on how happy or unhappy your work life was. Retirement will be the last phase, and you need to anticipate how making this move will affect you. If you grew to dislike your job, leaving will likely feel like being released from prison. For most people, however, leaving will bring feelings they might not have anticipated. Mary Beth was ready to retire, having been a nurse her whole working life, and a rewarding career it had been. Now 64, she says, I was tired of standing all day. It's hard on me at this age. My son and his wife had my first grandchild, and I wanted to spend a lot of time with that baby. She and her husband had a plan. They would move from Oregon to a new retirement home in Arizona. On the day I left my job, Mary Beth explains, I anticipated feeling happy, carefree, and excited about my future. No more 6 a.m. wake-ups. No more aching feet from standing for 8 hours on hard concrete floors. Time to garden, visit our baby girl, read books, play a bit of golf, lounge by the pool, and relax. I had retirement planned out. But as she headed out the door for the last time, it really hit her. I just started to sob. I was leaving everything behind. The job I loved, great work friends, even this city. All of it was being left behind. I never anticipated feeling sad, but as tears kept rolling down my face, I was consumed by how very hard it was to say goodbye. Mary Beth was swept up by one very overwhelming feeling, loss. Something that had meant a lot to her, her job, was now gone. She had told me when we worked together during her career, I go to work to stamp out disease. It's very important what I do. Saying goodbye was not the joyous day she thought it would be. She had underestimated the role work and co-workers had played in her life. For Mary Beth, her goodbye was final as she was moving away. That day was a very sad one for her. Even with a plan and things ahead that you really want to do, endings are just that, endings. For many, crossing over into retirement is emotionally painful. I had anticipated Mary Beth's reaction and advised her to have a family member or good friend from outside work meet with her or even come and drive her home. Indeed, she needed the hugs and support. You may be moving on to something better, but saying goodbye can still carry an emotional wallop. If you think yours will be a sad departure, have someone ready to offer immediate support when you leave. Best that it's not a work friend. Ask someone else who is important in your life, a caring person who you know will just let you feel what you feel. Even when you do have a plan, as Mary Beth did, a lot of feelings, some sad and hard to handle, can come up. You are moving on, alone, in a big way. Imagine what it feels like if you don't have a decent plan. Tracy White, Chief of Human Resources at Clark Neuber, an award-winning accounting firm, points out, I see employees making a big mistake when they avoid retirement planning. Too often the employee just doesn't think about retirement, and that person actually believes that somehow it won't happen. We all know that is not true. Putting a plan in place, one in which you are retiring to something, is a much smarter move. But even with a plan, you will likely have some overwhelming feelings on saying goodbye. Many of you will be leaving a life that was yours for decades. You are likely to have strong feelings that need to be acknowledged and dealt with. Loss of your professional identity. Mandatory retirement has become rarer. Rob Wheeler, CEO of Clark Neuber, points out that many accounting firms require partners to retire at age 65. Under Federal Aviation Administration rules, pilots for U.S.-based airlines must retire when they hit age 65. It makes no difference how great you are at the job. Your professional flying career is done on your 65th birthday. These people know what's coming and have plenty of time to plan, and yet many struggle with retirement and finding new ways to be happy. I've had a great deal of experience working with clients who have lost their jobs or ended their working career only to feel depressed and a loss of identity and connections. Some suffer a lot and need to grieve. Some need extra career counseling to move on. Rob Wheeler notes, "Leaving the job you devoted your life to can be the hardest transition of all. I know that for me, having a retirement reinvention plan is the best option. You need to have hobbies and interests outside of work. If you don't, leaving can make you feel lost. I have seen many professionals end up as failed retirees. My advice is that you shouldn't think about what you are leaving behind, but what you are going forward to. As you enter this last career stage, you likely will experience some sense of loss. You are leaving friends and colleagues behind, and for many people, a workplace or organization they have been a part of for a long while and feel a strong sense of connection with. Others lose their identity. Joe was an executive for a Fortune 500 company and had been there for more than 20 years, quickly moving up the ranks. He held an impressive position as a senior marketing director. He told me, "I found it very hard to retire, but I had come to hate all the travel, and traveling 3 weeks a month was the job. I realized I would not get another job elsewhere, so I retired. It was hard to adjust, I'll say. I had a lot of influence and felt like I'd made numerous key contributions to the company. I went from being a somebody to a nobody. When you tell people you used to be a marketing director but are now retired, they kind of think of you as irrelevant. That's what has been so difficult for me, Robin," he added. "I can't really share these feelings with others. They think I've got it easy because I am retired. I've only felt this way once, when I'd lost my job and it took 9 months to get hired. Since then, I've been with my company. I'm no longer a mover and shaker. I'm feeling old and like a true has-been." Obviously, Joe has work to do to move on, but a loss of professional identity is a real loss, one you must accept. And you'll likely grieve for a while, but most definitely, you have to deal with it. U.S. News and World Report has stated, "The hardest part of retirement is developing a purpose outside of your job. In the United States, most of us are identified by our job. Often, the first question we ask when we meet someone is, 'So what do you do?' What do you say when you aren't tied to a job anymore? Without a career, we are left to fill the void ourselves. This is not easy. The UK's Institute of Economic Affairs reported that 40% of retirees suffer from clinical depression. The retirement transition can be abrupt, so it's a good idea to prepare a bit before that day arrives. It's a question we all face when interacting with people. So what do you do? And it may be a question you dread answering. We tend to measure ourselves by our accomplishments, looking for external validation. To combat feelings of depression and isolation, try to be around fun people as much as possible. Join an interesting club or group in your area. Identify the one or two people in your life who will cheer you on through this process. Typically, it is not your spouse, who is often too anxious over money and retirement issues. Many people feel adrift in retirement. Their job gave their life meaning, and not having that is the worst stress of all. That's why some people want to continue to work as long as they can. Individuals who really enjoy their work should try to move into a part-time role, a bridge job, and stay at it as long as possible. At the same time, develop new friends and social connections in your off hours by joining some clubs and trying new activities you couldn't do while working full-time. Now is the time to think about all the things you have always wanted to do in your life. Is there a trip you want to take? Retirement may be a good time to do it. What were your early interests? Why not volunteer in a related area? Are there friends you always meant to spend more time with? This is a great time in life to reconnect with old friends and make new ones. Think about where you might like to live. If there's a place you always wanted to live but work commitments prohibited it, perhaps a change of location will add to your retirement enjoyment. Retirement psychological adjustments. Too few people consider the psychological transitions that accompany retirement, which can include coping with the loss of your career identity, replacing support networks you had through work, spending more time than ever before with your spouse, and finding new and engaging ways to stay active. The cultural norm for retirement is that you are living the good life. Truth be told, some folks are very unhappy and downright miserable. Psychologist Jacqueline B. James of the Sloan Center on Aging and Work at Boston College has found that only those people who are truly engaged in their post-retirement activities reap the psychological benefits. That's why people need to invest as much, if not more, time in their social or psychological planning before retirement to figure out what makes them happy. Carnegie Mellon University psychologist Sheldon Cohen issued a report that concluded, volunteering increases feelings of purpose and meaning in life. The key distinction I've seen with my clients is that when they volunteer at a place or places where they personally connect, they feel valued and rewarded in using their time to help that particular cause. Pets help. Knowing that some sort of fallout will accompany your retirement can help you better prepare for and plan on ways to help yourself. The American Pet Product Association says that 80 million U.S. families live with a pet, dogs being most popular. 54 million families have a canine pet. When Tony retired, he says, "The first thing I did was go out and get a second dog. This new puppy was an affectionate fellow. With two dogs, I really have to get out of the house. There is no excuse acceptable not to walk and play with them." The dogs helped him transition and made it all easier for him as he lives alone. "I get so much love and companionship from my dogs," he says. "They have made what could have been a really rough life transition easier for me, especially now that I have the new puppy to care for and enjoy." Dogs and cats can help ease the transition into retirement for today's boomer population. Pets provide wonderful companionship and responsibility in what can be a lonely time. Many retirees have found having a pet inspires conversation with strangers, helps ease the transition from a conversational workplace to living alone, and fills the emptiness created by a less stimulating lifestyle. According to USA Today, having a pet encourages increased physical contact. Petting an animal has been linked to lower blood pressure and lower stress levels. Because animals need routine feeding and maintenance, pets provide a sense of normalcy and routine for their owners. Pet owners can often find groups on Facebook or Instagram where people are devoted to, even crazy about, cats and dogs. One retired gentleman takes pictures of his pug dog and shares them on Instagram. He's quite clever and features his dog in all his pictures and has over 400,000 followers. Pet ownership can help you make new friends and join new groups. You might participate in a paws walk for a dog charity. We have two West Highland White Terriers and belong to a local group of Westie owners. It has events for owners and dogs and is a fun group and a good way to meet new people. Decompressing may be necessary. Anyone coming from a high-pressure, high-demand job will likely need time to decompress and allow those old stresses to fade away and fall by the wayside. The deadlines are gone. The striving is over. Your professional drive may have to cool off a bit. busy professionals, managers, and executives, anyone who is type A, needs a cooling off period. Misty is a ball of fire. This former executive VP confesses she felt lost when she left her job. No one was asking my opinion anymore. I wasn't juggling a bunch of balls and getting everything done. I wasn't striving anymore. I'd lost my sense of accomplishment. I realized how wrapped up I was with my job. I was very good at what I did, and my entire social world was work-based. Every workday was jam-packed. At first, my retirement felt like a longer vacation, she said. I went with my sister on a much-anticipated 5-week trip to Europe. It was absolutely fantastic. Of course, I realize I'm lucky. Not everyone has the money to travel like I did. So much went into planning and anticipating that trip. When it was over, I felt the letdown, kind of a now what. Misty needed a slower mode, and that would be something new for her. She thought she'd like to see movies and read books, so she got a Netflix membership and binge-watched TV series and movies she'd missed out on before. She started to relax from her usual frenzied pace. She admits, "It wasn't long before I needed a new social group. I'm an outgoing person, but everyone I know is still working. I decided to try out a few things I'd never done before. Crazy me, I joined not one, but 2 book clubs. I love to read new novels and enjoy sharing my thoughts and opinions about what I've read. Plus, being in 2 clubs allowed me to instantly meet new ladies, as I'm eager for new friends to do things with." After a few more months at home, she emailed me and said she had joined a gardening club. She also had volunteered and helped raise some money for a worthy cause. At each activity, she sought out people she might like to get to know better. Slowly, she made some friends to do things with. She notes, "With all my new clubs and volunteering, I've gotten to meet and be around other people who share my interests. Slowly, I'm making some acquaintances I can call and go to lunch with. I enjoy socializing and am grateful I've met some cool ladies in the process of being retired." Misty is a solid role model of someone who is transitioning well. You must accept that you will likely have some negative feelings and sadness as you end your day job. Changes and endings are always hard. You can help yourself by exercising daily, having a few supportive friends to talk with, and making a plan so you can begin to engage in a few fun activities. Decompressing means you let go of the pressures and stresses you faced each working day. You now have no more tight deadlines, no work problems without easy answers. Forget those boring meetings and awkward moments with your boss. No more being forced to be around people you dislike either. As a part of this process, you need to discuss your feelings, good, sad, worried, with trusted friends or your spouse. As you start your retirement reinvention phase, allow yourself some time to adjust. You may have been burnt out by work, or not. Everyone needs some weeks or even months to settle into a new phase. You will need to assess, acknowledge, and accept the changes in your life. Plan for an adjustment period, the length of which will be defined by you. Several months or up to a year is what some will need to adjust from working life to retired life. New opportunities will present themselves. Decompressing, many say, was key to making themselves into a more successful retiree. In pursuit of happiness. I was an engineer for my entire career. I worked at only 2 companies, and I lost my job at age 58. Since the job market wasn't really interested in hiring an older engineer, I decided to start my retirement, says Dan. At first, he did some long overdue home improvement projects. That kept me busy and feeling really productive for a while. But once the honey-do list was done, he got bored. For months, he moped around. He noticed his wife didn't seem to have this problem. She was always busy and on the go. He asked if he could tag along. Honey, let me ride along with you while you do your thing. No way, Dan, said his wife. I don't want you messing up my life. You need to find your own interests and friends. Her reaction was more typical than not. Couples not accustomed to having a lot of together time do not usually welcome such a dramatic change. She might have been open to introducing a new couple activity had he suggested they take ballroom dancing together or a painting class, but not to just tagging along. Ultimately, his solution was to join the Rotary. You know what, Dan says? It's interesting. We meet weekly, and I've made new acquaintances. Civic organizations like the Rotary often have a membership of both working professionals and retirees. With chapters in almost every city, you can even attend makeup meetings if you travel or spend months in another location. Visiting members, the farther away the better, have a bit of celebrity status, not only in the away club, but within their home club when they return. In addition to the meetings, a host of committees and events are in need of volunteers. Through the regular encounters, you will make new friends, as happened with Dan. One person invited me to join the bowling league. I never bowled before, but I went and it was fun. Now I'm a regular on a team, he says. Dan had to learn to move outside his comfort zone. Trying new things and meeting new people can be awkward, even scary, but ultimately enriching. Make new friends and reconnect with the old. Friendships add a lot to your life. As you approach retirement and enter into this stage, you'll see great friends move away. You may move too. A key part of retirement reinvention is remaining open and welcoming opportunities to make new friends. So how do you make new friends? Become a joiner. You may not be ready for the senior center yet, but look at a community center. If you live in a retirement community, try some of the offered activities. Book clubs are popular, so are card groups and mahjong. Again, there is a terrific online organization called Meetup, www.meetup.com, where you can find a group doing anything you like nearby. If you live near a city, you'll find many groups to choose from. But even small towns have groups that meet to share interests. Cooking, baking, drawing, dancing, and hiking are just some examples. You can find groups for photography, bunko, sewing, yoga, meditation, Reiki, Tai Chi, knitting, music, sports, writing, languages, and culture. Plus, if you have a new idea, you can start your own neighborhood group. Hate the idea of going alone? I suggest you contact the organizer and ask about the best way to break into the group. Maybe make a plan to meet the contact person a little early and ask him or her to introduce you to some folks at the event. That will take the fear out of going to an event where you know no one. Facebook is an ideal way to find and reconnect with old friends. John told me he found several old college and high school friends on Facebook. He says that he found a lot of people who he liked but had dropped out of his life during the busy kid-rearing years. He reconnected and now meets them for lunch, coffee, or to play golf. And he shares his life and family events on this social media platform so other old friends and faraway cousins can be a part of his life too. Start something. Dinner groups, book clubs, movie nights are very popular. Many people would like to join something near their home, but aren't one to start something. Why not? Think about a friend or two who might join. Do you have a neighborhood newsletter? A Facebook page? Advertise your idea, interest, or hobby, looking for new members to make up your group. See who responds. I started a book club in my neighborhood with 10 people I never knew before. A friend started a sewing group. Clients started knitting groups and poker nights. Don't wait for the group or activity to find you. Look for people and invite them to join you. Voila! You will then have a fun, interesting, and social group of people with whom to share a passion or hobby. Understanding that your transition time may feel uncomfortable and setting up some support to help you through is the best way to deal with this new phase you are entering. Plan your transition now that you know what to expect. That will make it easier, but don't avoid or deny your feelings. Express them by writing in a journal or talking to friends or a counselor. Resources. Find more resources on our special website, www.myretirementreinvention.com/resources. Summarizing Part 1. We've covered a lot in the first part of this book. You have learned what retirement reinvention is about. You've discovered how not to be a failed retiree. You've heard the myths surrounding retirement and what the new trends are, like having a meaningful part-time job. We discussed hobbies, interests, and the often unanticipated challenges that result from moving from one location to another. Numerous stories illustrated how others are handling retirement challenges. Solutions have been suggested to help deal with fears, concerns, and anything that might stand in the way of creating a meaningful retirement for yourself. In Part 2, we get specific about the things you can do to enrich your life. Again, this includes numerous stories I think you'll find engrossing. Giving back and making a difference in small but valuable ways is covered, as is how to make more friends and enjoy a hobby or two or three. The travel chapter offers some ways to see the world even on a shoestring budget. You'll hear about how to take college classes practically for free. Maybe you are inclined to start a business. That is covered too. Keep listening to uncover the best ways to make your new life full of fun. Whatever you crave, you have to plan it out and provide direction and resources so you can live it. We'll help you do just that. Dream on. Commit to living the best life possible. Part 2, What You Can Do. Let your life be measured by the happiness in your heart. Chapter 7, We All Need Social Connection. I was surprised by how much I grieved over losing my work relationships when I retired, says Vera. It shocked me into realizing that I had left it all behind. I found retiring to be a very alone experience. Some lessons we learn after the fact. In my career counseling practice, many people complain to me that they moved quickly upon retiring and underestimated what a big loss giving up those social connections, friends, neighbors, doctors, churches, would be in their lives. Moving is an all-consuming thing, especially if you are downsizing at the same time. It's also a hard thing. You're about to end up somewhere brand new with no friends or connections. Starting over at age 60, 65, or 70 is not easy. Don't underestimate the local relationships you have made over the years. Many are pure gold. Being an investment banker and living in the world of high finance is so very stressful, says Charlie. When I reached age 55, retirement sounded like a great idea. I was ready to leave behind the 80-hour work weeks and to enjoy the good life. After the first year, he was really bored. I couldn't stand it. I knew I needed to do something new where I dealt with people, but wanted it to be a no-stress thing. A friend mentioned a young eye doctor who had opened a practice in town and was struggling. He was very competent and well-educated in optometry, but knew nothing about running a business. My friend arranged for us to meet. We just clicked. I saw a way to be useful, offering business advice, plus selling eyeglasses and fitting the doctor's patients for new glasses. It was a no-brainer kind of job, and I get to know lots of people. seemed perfect for a social guy like me. What started out as a way to have something to do has been a true blessing to Charlie. He gets to meet so many people who live in the city of 11,000 people. He loves helping others, but he says the real value showed up 2 years ago. This job saved me, he explains. My 21-year-old son, Will, was instantly killed in a fiery car crash. He was hit from behind by a man weaving in and out of traffic at 100 miles an hour. That insane driver was high on meth. My son died at the scene after his car flipped, rolled, and burst into flames. That was the worst day of my life. The people I know from my job surrounded me and gave me a lifeline on some very, very dark days. If I hadn't had the job to get up and go to, I don't know if I could have made it through. Tragedy, unexpected divorce, a major illness, any of life's curveballs can make you immediately realize how valuable being near caring friends can be. Marie knew she needed to make new friends, but she never thought it would be so hard. She watched as her best friend Ellen moved away and her other close friend Joyce died from cancer in the same year. She'd been friends with those two ladies since her kids were small. They had done so much together and she hated to admit it, couldn't really tell anyone, but she had a hole in her life. She was lonely, but also recognized that it takes a lot of effort to make a new good friend. And where would she meet them? How could she find someone who could replace Ellen or Joyce? Fact is, she can't and she won't. If you've lost your best buddy or good friends have left and moved away, you need to change your thinking. Many people, men and women, are seeking to find a new best friend. If you are thinking that you can instantly make a new best friend, or even make a really good friend quickly, think again. Marie had 20 years of memories and activities in those friendships. You may miss a friend you've known since high school or college. A person like that cannot be quickly replaced. As you retire and move on with this new phase of life, you'll make new acquaintances. But deep friendships take time, a lot of time to develop. You may meet people who over the next 10 years can become truly great friends, but it will take a lot of days and experiences together to build that kind of relationship. As we age, we still want to have a strong social connection to other people. We like to be with people who share an interest. We want new friends to share chit-chat about our lives. Yet aging means a lot of people retiring and moving away. You will have to make some effort to get out and meet new people, or you may find your social circle shrinking fast. Elaine found her legal practice kept her too busy to do a lot of stuff she enjoyed. After she retired, she wanted to spend more time going to movies. She noticed an AARP piece about movies for grown-ups. She decided she'd ask a few people if they'd be interested in attending the 10 best movies on this list and then heading out for coffee to discuss the film afterward. She asked each person to bring a friend and was able to find 7 people who agreed to go. Every other week for the next 20 weeks, the group either went to a theater and saw the movie, or if it was on cable or Netflix, they went to someone's home. Several films they watched also got nominated for an Oscar, keeping them playing in theaters longer. Elaine says, "I just loved our movie night. These are really cool people who are so interesting. I decided, why not have an Oscar party? I can invite all my new movie friends. I made it an organized potluck. I cooked the main chicken dish and asked others to specifically add to our meal. I assigned one person to bring appetizers, another the salad and bread, and someone else dessert. I wanted it to be a really awesome party, so I told the guests to dress for the red carpet. I was quick to add, wear things you have or items you can get from Goodwill to look glam. I personally had a blast running around thrift stores to find a dress, accessories, and shoes. Everyone said the Oscar party was so much fun. I plan to keep hosting one every year from now on. As for her movie group, it now attends movies every other week throughout the year and has grown to include 12 retirees. Elaine and the others share two things they love, movies and friendship, a nice combination. 20 ways to make new friends. Keep in mind that potential new friends can be older than you or quite a bit younger than you. Both can be interesting and fun to be around. Be open to meeting others and start conversations with people around you, no matter their age. 1. Search for a meetup in your area. If your goal is to find potential new friends, then look into activities you enjoy. Meetup groups are often already established. Go to www.meetup.com and check out what's available in your area. 2. Join a church or other place of worship. Some churches are boring and others are overwhelmingly big, and some are smaller, while others are more friendly. Large churches often have groups within them where you can meet people. A friendly church is likely not too large, maybe fewer than 300 people, and it will have activities and ways you can volunteer and meet new folks instantaneously. 3. Volunteer strategically. Not all volunteer organizations will fit your needs. If you are giving your time away, be sure you enjoy it. Go with an open mind, but if you go once or twice and that group isn't a good fit for you, keep looking elsewhere. 4. Work on a political campaign. You can meet a lot of people, young and old alike, working on a campaign. Maybe you start with someone running for Congress or mayor or your school board. If you believe in their ideas, why not work on their campaign? You'll meet a lot of terrific and interesting people, and you'll all have one thing in common, the candidate. 5. Join an exercise class or league. Swimming, golf, dance, tai chi, tennis, spinning, yoga. Pick something you can commit to doing and do it regularly. Make an effort to chat with other people in the class. Ask questions if you are new, like whether another attendee knows about the instructor or how challenging the class is. Anything to get a conversation going. 6. Invite someone to coffee. You have to make the first move here, but if you come across a person you might want to get to know a tiny bit better, take the first step. Everyone hangs out at coffee shops these days. It's the perfect way to start a new relationship. And yes, you can invite someone without them thinking it's a date or anything. 7. Find a club. Love knitting? Books, movies, biking, hiking, photography, Bible study, cooking? Check your local newspapers or with a local librarian about your interest and see if there are clubs you can join. Can't find one? Start one. Go on social media and post a notice about your idea. That's exactly how I started my book club. 8. Take a dance class. Check out continuing education bulletins for local community colleges and dance clubs. Google them to find one near you. Whether you want to learn ballroom dancing, salsa, or just become a bit more comfortable on the dance floor, there are dance instructors out there to help. Many of these organizations have dance parties and even competitions. They can be a lot of fun. You don't need to be a couple to go, so most definitely try it. 9. Join the Red Hat Society. As it has over 50,000 members, you can find ladies to have fun with anywhere you live, even if you live in two places. Emily Yost, the club's marketing director, told me this club is all about having fun. They simply join to play. You can connect via the website with ladies all over the world and find local chapters and members who live in your community. You must join to see the connections and chapters. I joined because it looked like too much fun to resist. Each group is different, so check them out and see which one fits your interests. 10. Take a course. Colleges offer courses in every subject imaginable. You can take a class on a subject you find interesting but never had time to look into before. Try an English literature course, learn a foreign language, or find out how to do a genealogy. Or take something stimulating like history of terrorism or art courses, or learn more about the environment, or take an astronomy class. Try your hand at a writing class. Pick something you want to learn more about. Sign up and start. 11. Say yes to any invitation. You meet people if you go to things. 12. Host a potluck with extra guests. Decide on a main dish and list the people you know. Invite 3, 4, or 5 of them over and tell each one they need to bring a friend with them. This way, you'll meet each one of your friends' friends. The host often gets invitations in reciprocation for the dinner he or she hosted. It works for couples or all ladies or all men. 13. Play cards. Do you enjoy poker, bridge, blackjack, hearts? Invite a few people over to play cards. Doesn't matter if they know the game. Teach it to them. 14. Throw a party inviting strangers. New to a town, street, condo complex, community? To meet the people near you fast, throw an open house or come and meet your neighbor's party. People will come and you'll meet them. Most important, they will all meet you. 15. Learn to make something. Ceramics, pottery, a cake, jewelry, glass. Try something you've never done before. Groupon offers a lot of really cool activities at a cheap introductory price. 16. Take an organized trip. Investigate tours and trips that travel for a service project. You not only get to meet new people, you'll work with them for a week. You will do something meaningful, and you will likely come home with a couple of new buddies, too. 17. Advertise a dog walk. Find other dog lovers. They enjoy talking about their dogs, too. You can put an ad on Facebook or in a community newsletter and organize a day, time, and location for a dog walk. See who shows up. These are instant friends. Try to find a person to walk your dog with more often. 18. Join a civic improvement project. Contact your local city or town hall and ask about what projects they have coming up. Do they need volunteers? Pick an ongoing project that you can get involved in. This is a great way to meet people in your community. 19. Organize movie nights or afternoons. Like Elaine did, you can pick a theme or vote on upcoming releases. Set up the groups so you meet afterward to discuss the film. A local library, for example, often has conference rooms that are free to use. You only need to sign up for them in advance. 20. Start a new hobby. Ask around and connect with others who like the same hobby, whether it's going shooting at a firing range, cooking French dishes, or learning to play chess. A new hobby will lead you to meet new friends. Check out what's new at the library. I met with Wendy Pender, who holds a unique job within the King County Library System in Seattle. She is the Older Adults Program Specialist. I'll admit, I'm not an active library user. I buy the books I read for work or pleasure or for my book club. During my career, I have taught numerous classes on using libraries to search for jobs. So when I heard about Wendy through a colleague, I asked for an introduction. Wow, was she helpful. If you haven't checked out the library, definitely go do so. Besides lending books and ebooks, libraries often have great programs to help people over 50, whether retiring or already retired. For example, book clubs, many different kinds with different focuses, often meet at the library as they offer free conference rooms. Friends of the Library, an auxiliary organization that raises funds for the library. Computer skills for people 50 and older. Volunteer instructors or librarians teach computer classes. Genealogy programs. Personal help and/or courses to trace your family history. Then there are the newspapers and flyers posted by organizations you might want to get involved with. When I visited Wendy, volunteers were being recruited, for example, to work at the following: American Cancer Society's Road to Recovery Program seeks volunteers who will drive cancer patients to and from medical facilities for treatments. As long as you're willing to devote one afternoon or morning a month, you can be part of this excellent program. Chicken Soup Brigade. Like to chop, cook, or package meals? You can do all these things while helping people with a chronic illness, plus have fun doing it. The Soup Brigade prepares meals for people in need. This is an opportunity to work with a team of fantastic people who are working to help hungry neighbors. Habitat for Humanity. This organization has 30 different volunteer roles for people who want to help support local affordable housing. You can work on construction sites, in a retail store if there's one near you, or with community outreach efforts. You may also work in the office or partner with the families the new houses are being built for. Parks and Recreation. Many towns have a parks and recreation center that offers classes to people of all ages. The courses vary widely and might include music, the arts, dance, exercise, as well as numerous other topics and activities taught by people who just want to share their knowledge. You may be invited to apply to teach. You can also get involved if you want to work on organizing and facilitating the daily activities and setting up rooms in case you're not a teacher. Goodwill. This organization relies on volunteers to achieve its mission of changing lives through offering jobs. There are many ways to get involved, such as supporting job training and education programs, assisting with support services, implementing other important projects, and bringing the fashion collection show and other special events to life. Food Bank seeks volunteers to help fight hunger. You could help in the organization's grocery store or deliver food to homebound people, or assist with sorting the food that's been donated so it can be distributed quickly to those in need. Volunteering is the fastest and easiest way to make a new social network or at least be around other people. See the worksheet on the accompanying PDF for ideas for making new friends. In summary, if you enjoy others, you will need to make new acquaintances. This will enable you to have a rich social life, but you must work at it. Take advantage of opportunities to join in. You must be a starter or a joiner. Either way allows you to expand your social world as current friends move away. If you find new ways to make new friends, email me so I can share it with others. Robin@robinryan.com. What will your legacy be? Chapter 8, Making a Difference and Giving Back. The world would be a much better place if every boomer decided to devote 5 or 10 hours a month to working to make society and our planet better. Can you even imagine the impact our generation could have by doing something so potentially world-changing? Ken and Mary are the ideal pre-retirees. They had a vision of what they wanted retirement to look like. They saw themselves giving back to those less fortunate than themselves. That was their loose plan until their daughter graduated from high school and got a job serving in Africa with Mercy Ships. The organization's four ships are state-of-the-art hospitals that travel to the world's poorest countries and are supported by an exclusively volunteer crew of over 1,000 people. Why ships?